is going where no one dies heavenward bound.
Amen. No one dies. We are glad that God has watched over us and blessed us with the presence of mind to come together again to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we have probably been blessed also not only to be present this morning, but after leaving here, we have been blessed to have a good meal. Now, don't let that put you to sleep. And I'll try not to put you to sleep either. Praise the Lord. We're delighted and happy that God has watched over us and blessed us with health and strength and with the presence of mind too. Realize that this is the Lord's day, the first day of the week, and that He loves His children, and He loves for us to come together and worship Him in song and praise. And we are delighted to have the golden opportunity and the pleasure and the privilege to do that, just that. I want to call your attention this evening to the book of St. John. That's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 3. Luke, John, chapter 3. Commencing with verse 14. And we'll probably stop at verse 21. John chapter 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14. And no man. Let me do verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. But he that came down from heaven. You got that? And the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And even the Son of Man, rather, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That means everlasting life. Verse 16, that you learned as a child. For God did what? So love, not just love, but so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Boy, He must really, ladies and gentlemen, He manifested the fact that He really loves human beings. Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Looking out for us. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made known or made manifest, that they are wrought in God by His marvelous and wondrous grace. My greatest gift to God, my greatest gift to God. Question: have you decided to follow Jesus and tell others. He's not coming back to the world to tell others about the salvation that has been ratified in glory, that has been given to the world. He wants every sane human being to hear his word, believe it, receive it, and obey it. If you are a Christian, what does that mean? It means that you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have believed it. As a result, you're godly sorrowful for the sinful things that you've done. That is, you have repented of all of your past sins. And you have acknowledged the Son of God, confessed that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And you have been buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And God has added you. He has adopted you as his spiritual child. Aren't you glad about that? If no one else recognizes you, God recognizes you. No one else loves you, God loves you. And he has brought you into a church that cost his son his life. And as a matter of fact, we only read about that church in his Bible. We don't read about any other church in God's Bible that he adds people to. Now what? Now that you've been added to the body of Christ, now that you are a Christian, now what? The greatest proof you can give Jesus Christ you know what it is your determination to do his will. Jesus came down from glory, born of a woman, lived on planet Earth for 33 years, and he came down to do his Father's will. You, me, those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we have come into the church that Jesus established through the preaching of the apostles. God has blessed us and added us to his son's church. We heard the gospel, believed it, received it, and obeyed it. And we have come into his church to be saved. And God expects us to be obedient children. Expects us to be obedient children. Not give him halfway service. Not give him halfway love. Not coming in the morning and skipping at night. Hop, skipping, and dumping, jumping. Put him first. And God positioned himself to say and to act and to command that we put him first. You know how he did that? Very simple. He put his son to die. He gave his son to die that we might live forever with him. He gave the best he had and has. He expects no less from creatures that he has created and could have destroyed every creature he created and started all over again. But he didn't do that. So we have a loving Heavenly Father that has manifested his love for us. He expects no less from us. He has set the example. He gave his best. He commands that we do our best. Without excuse. Now that you've been added to the Lord's church, the only church of the Bible, the greatest proof that we can give God that we love him and love what he did and love what the Son did is by what? Knowing his word and obeying his word. That's how we talk to God. That's not the only talk. It must be by our actions. Because I remember my mother. I don't know how old I was, but since I was such a smart kid, she was probably started very early. Your actions speak louder than your words. You ever heard that from your parents? Didn't I tell you? Some of you, I've told this before. Somebody figured out a way that our foreparents could iron clothes and not have to put them on the fire. Those irons on the fire. You know about that. And they let them put them on the stove, let them get hot, and then they would iron. Some smart person figured out a way to make that iron get hot electrically without fire. And for some reason, God saw fit to let my parents buy one of those irons. And it came with a cord. But that's not the end of it. It was all right to come with a cord if you couldn't detach it. Would you believe some unthinking person figured out a way to have an electric cord plugged into the line and you can unplug it? And my mother had one of those lines. I think I mentioned this to you. And she knew how to iron. She knew how to plug it in. And my gracious, she knew how to pull it, unplug it. That was the part that I didn't like, that unplugging part. So you have to be a quick talker and a good actor. But it may have worked. And if it did, it only worked one time. Peace. All is well. Jesus came and died for us. If you love the Lord, he requires one thing. That's it. Love him. The only proper evidence that God accepts from human beings is obeying his commandments because you love him. Not just obeying his commandments, the reason that you're obeying his commandments, that you love him and what he has done and is still doing for human beings. We ought to not only love God, we manifest our love for God also by how we treat others, other human beings. We ought to love one another, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who did God send to the world to die for human beings? Obedient people, loving people, kind people, sinners. World full of sinners, and he sent his only begotten Son. He manifested his love for us in giving us an example of what he expects from us. Even when folk mistreat you, love them. try to convert them if they're not in the body of Christ already. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. To be a faithful servant, lover, servant of God, God expects us to know His will. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You know the text. Study to show yourself approved unto God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. Your Bible says perfect. Make you complete. Now watch this. Verse 21. Make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Isn't that something? God saves us and then helps us to be good servants, be good children, loving children. You know, there's a text in your Bible, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. You say, that sounds familiar. I think I know what that text says. Amen. As faithful children, loving children, because we love God, we love Jesus Christ for what they have done and what they are still doing for us. Forsake not. I think the word there is ing, is forsaking. Forsaking the assembly, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, or even during the days of the apostles. There were some that were forsaking the assembly. And guess what? It appears that they have some kinfolks. You'll get that at midnight. Don't worry about it. Not forsaking yourselves. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But doing what? Exhorting or encouraging. We are to encourage one another to be faithful servants of God. He has blessed us. Look at our audience this morning. Look at our audience tonight. The greatest proof that we can love is our obedience. And obedience to the will of God without hesitation, without complaining, and without... I'll stop there. Without complaining. Our Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if, John 14, 15, you know it from memory, if you love me, if you love me, do what? Is there a phrase in that verse before the word keep that says try to? T-R-Y and then T-O. Try to keep my commandments. It's a straightforward statement. You see it. It's simple. It's understandable. Keep if you love me. Look at that supposition in front of that. I think that's what you would call that for you English teachers. Jesus says, if you love me, there must be a reason why he says, if you love me, as opposed to just saying, keep my commandments. We are also told that he said, they are not grievous. My commandments are not grievous. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That statement tells us, without reservation, hesitation, or anything else, that saved we can never be if we don't keep the Lord's commandments. Eternity is forever. Don't keep his commandments. Don't go to heaven. Go to hell. Punishment forever. There is no such thing as repenting and being restored to his good favor. Love the Lord. Going halfway is not acceptable. Merely professing is no proof of love. Life, lip service is also not acceptable. You may be a sweet talker, but you can't fool God. Love each other. We are commanded to do that. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross. Follow him through evil report, through good report, and not forsaking the assembly. Follow Jesus regardless. He came down for our benefit. We serve him. Look at that. Jesus came for our benefit. We obey his will if we have good sense for us to have his continued goodwill. Why does it seem to be so hard for some members of the church to obey the Lord, when he has already come down from glory, died a painful death just for us? Why is that difficult for us to understand? He truly, truly loves us, both he, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he tells us not only to love him, love each other. Love each other. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross, whatever challenges we may have, and follow him. Through evil report, folk talk about you. Through good report, not forsaking the assembly, but coming together and being sources of inspiration and encouragement one to another. Is it encouraging to you to see folks skipping church? Oh, I saw you 2 weeks ago. You were in worship. Where were you? Da 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 da. And sometimes it's not like that. I saw you this morning, but I don't see you tonight. Brothers and sisters, God is God. He knows everything. He does everything right. He expects us to obey his will. Since he expects us to do his will, we must study to know his will. Going, when we read the Bible, particularly Revelation chapter 20, going is reading about hell. It's something different. And I hope you understand that too. It's something different for human beings to wind up in hell. You notice how I said that? I didn't say for you to wind up in hell. I said for human beings. Church, we have a responsibility, and I thank God for you. We have a responsibility We are to be helpers one of another. We are to be examples one for another. And it should be wonderfully easier to do the right thing. Because when you're doing the wrong thing and know you're doing the wrong thing, you're on edge all the time. You're on edge for doing it, no. But it bothers you that you might get caught. Don't bother you to do it. I just don't want to get caught. If you haven't heard, God is everywhere. He doesn't sleep. He's everywhere all the time. Tell somebody else about that. Says, I missed that, Brother Brown. God is everywhere. And he's everywhere all the time. So it doesn't matter. You kept it secret from so-and-so. It doesn't matter. Didn't keep it from God. That's where it matters. It determines our eternal destiny. We're to love each other. We're to help one another. And we are to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as we see the time approaching for us to meet together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the way he has commanded us to do so. And if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth, according to the scriptures, there remaineth no more. God is not sending down anybody else as a sacrifice. That is only one way to please God. You know what way that is? The answer is simple. His way. His way. He is not sending his son with another Bible plan. This is it. It's the only plan that's going to come from God. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. All I've said this afternoon is God loves you and he demands obedience. He loves you. He demands obedience. That's not different from your parents, is it? They love you. They demand obedience. That's why they had a whipping strap. Because they loved us. But we could understand that love that they gave us with the strap. But pretty soon we learned how to understand it or act like we understood it. Let us, as a church, follow the words of the song in which we sing. You know what song that is. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Let us sing, church. Let us sing and make melody in our heart. Let us sing and do the will of God, that he can have all the singing he wants in glory because of his faithful children in Richmond, Virginia, if none else. The greatest proof of our love that we can give heaven simple. He gives it to us. Three words. Three words. You know them already. Keep God's commandments. That's it. That's it. Not even big enough to stay in a nutshell. But oh, it brings joy to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Keep the word. Keep the words. Keep His word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Fear God, that's reverence God, and keep His commandments. The whole duty of man, the whole duty of man, is to keep His commandments. Where are you tonight? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. But what we do know, we know the will of God. And if I remain faithful to the will of God, it doesn't matter on what happens on tomorrow. Let us remember the song. Very simple. Hold to God's unchanging hand. He doesn't tell us to do one thing one day and tell us to do something different the next day. He's the same God. Same commandments. Written in His holy book called the Bible. Let us, like no other church, perhaps, maybe no, maybe yes, make up our mind. Make up our mind. I'm going to believe the Bible. And by God's marvelous grace, I'm going to live the Bible. Be a church. That's an example for other congregations. But most of all, be a church because of our love for God. And we have our love for God because of the love that He has manifested. We don't have to wonder about how much God loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Not just for a day, not just for a month. Send Him down here to live with us sinners, for sinners. For 33 years. Not only come down here to bring a message, to train others regarding the message, and then to die a painful death, crucifixion, like a common criminal. Shameful. All for us. Can we not be faithful servants and look at what He is going to do for us? Let us come and live with Him forever. One question. Do you know of a better offer from anywhere or anybody? And if you don't know of any better, what doth hinder you from giving your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Hearing the gospel, believe it with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then being buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. You know what God does? He immediately, when you come up out of the water, He adopts you. You become His adopted child. child. All sins forgiven you. Now you walk with the Lord. And He helps you to do that because He sends the Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to enable and empower us to live the life that He is calling us to. There is no better offer than the one that heaven offers. And it's an everlasting, glorious opportunity. As long as the world stands and you'll have life, you must have life to accept it. What does hinder you? Are you a member of the body of Christ? Are you a member of the Church of Christ? Because you don't read about any other church in your Bible. You've heard the word. Do you believe it with all of your heart? Are you godly sorrowful for the sinful life that you've lived to this point? Are you willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior? And then be buried in water baptism for every sin you have ever committed. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't ask you any questions. You can repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be buried in water baptism, and God forgives you of every sin you have ever committed. Wipes the slate clean and adopts you as His child. That's your privilege. We are prepared for you to come. The baptizer is ready. The water is ready. The garments are ready. The question is, if you're not in the body, if you're not in the one church, added by God, this is your opportunity tonight. We don't know what tomorrow holds, to give your life to Jesus Christ and to become the adopted child of our Lord and Savior and of our God. Maybe you're already in the body, but you've walked contrary to the will of God. Come tonight. Come tonight. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to your Lord and Savior. And become a role and become an example for others. A useful servant in the body of Christ. It's your choice. I've done the best I could with what I had. As we together stand and sing, if you need to come.
There's a fountain for it is for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink.
Will you come
to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open.